Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, welcome to another evening of the ABCs of Apostleship, Discipling Apostolic Christians 2. We are here live in Tulsa with the one and only Dr. Paula A. Price, and she is getting ready to say, we don't even know what, something deep, powerful. I mean, she knows. Well, I think she knows. She knows. Yeah, she's clicking. Mm-hmm. She knows something deep and powerful and profound from the realms of God. I'm excited. The Thursday Paula Price Show is still ringing in my ears, and I am editing it, actually. The whole segment you did on cussing and how we know that genuine apostolic saints don't do that. They don't do that.
Well, they know the damage.
That's
the
right. And I thought that was a powerful exhort spanking.
You're just going to work that exhort.
Yeah, that's an exhort spanking. That's what that was, because, you know, I'm not a cussing saint. I've never been a cussing saint, but I still felt a little twitch. Because I think sometimes even the spirit in which we say something can be really wrong, even if the words that we're using aren't technically.
Yeah. Well, remember, if you're planning to wound, and if you're wording to wound, you know, that's really what we have to consider, wording to wound. If you're wording things to wound people, then it's still the same, because a curse is mean to doom. You know, we have expletive, we have completive, we got repletive. We need to figure out what the pletive in there has to do, because that's saying a lot. Because X means out. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because go live, baby.
Okay. You go live on the streaming.
And it's your fault if they miss 5 minutes.
That's okay. I can take responsibility for that.
Amen. 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 Well, hi, Facebook Live. Glad to see you. It's Tuesday night, which means it's ABCs of Apostleship night, and we are filled and will be for a long time to come discipling apostolic Christians. Isn't that good to know? Discipling apostolic Christians. Now, this is coming from my book, ABCs of Apostleship. Some of you have a book, have the copy of the book in front of you, and it's really funny because, you know, we're talking about what it is to be an apostolic Christian. You know, what is an apostolic Christian? Why is God so hot on how to live this way? Don't you think it's interesting that we still don't know how to live God's way? You know, and how, you know, I like this, you know, how to live God's way. So we're going to talk, if you have your book tonight, I'm going to read just a little bit from you for me. A little bit later on from page 108, where we talk about living the Godhead life. You know, we often teach living the godly life, and we should, but what is it to live the Godhead life? I think we should talk about that a little bit. What do you think, Prophet Ashley?
Well, you know, I agree, and only you can make a statement like that.
So living the Godhead life is very important for us to understand that. Because that's really who we are, what we are, and why we exist. We have to figure that out. But before we do, we have some things coming up. Tomorrow is Wednesday. And this is the Wednesday that we will be having lunch with Dr. Price, talking about living out your apostolic Christianity. So you get me an extra time this week. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Some of you all tell me I need to put an extra time in, so I'm going to put in a little OT for you. Hallelujah. Just a little.
You'll never do that.
I never do that. No OT. But I'm going to put in a little OT for you. The next thing I want to tell you is that we have December 10th coming, Ashley.
This weekend.
This weekend. So I'm doing double OT. I am doing double OT because this weekend I am doing a webinar on
intercession and deliverance.
Intercession.
Process of deliverance.
And I want, you know, I like that. Intercession and deliverance. The process of deliverance. Now, if you did not get an opportunity to listen to me last Thursday or go back and catch it, you should. I talk a great deal about deliverance. Just to whet your appetite. Certainly, it is not the webinar They're very different. So to whet your appetite, the one thing you learn, I asked to come on, this is whether you get an A in a class.
Oh, no.
I love to do this to her. You know why? Because when someone has been with you a long time, you lean on them. And I'm leaning on you, girl. But what did you learn about deliverance? What does deliverance require?
Deliverance requires your intellect.
Your intellect. So deliverance relies on intelligence. So if you can't figure out why you got bound, you may get eased, but you don't get delivered. So you'll be eased from your dis-ease, but you don't get delivered, which is why when people get on the mend, what do they get? They get a plan. They get an intelligent, okay, some do's and don'ts, some warnings, and some guides and instructions on how to stay free, how to live free. If you suffer from a disease for a long period of time, that thing takes over your life, your psyche, your habits, et cetera. And so rehabilitation means that you have to rehabilitate yourself to a life of wellness and wholeness. Well, deliverance is pretty much the same thing. You cannot be delivered without your intelligence on some level. You know, I'd like to use the example of the madman from Gadara, the man that Jesus delivered, the crazy guy. It was two of them. First of all, a lot of us don't realize that there were two. Mm-hmm. Only one wanted to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, I could just go.
Couldn't
you? Only one wanted to be free. There were two men. And so people who are like the pick of the Bible said, well, one said one, and then another said two. There were two. Only one wanted to be free. The other liked their captivity. Some people like their captivity. They like scaring people. They like putting people on the hook. They like binding people to their disorder and chaos. So the one who wanted to be free heard Jesus. Well, he wanted to be free, and Jesus heard him. And even though the guy was, you know, wild and crazy, you know, you're about a legion, but that's a lot of voices talking at once. And Jesus asked him, what is his name? He heard the voice of the Son of God. Because when people want to be free from their captivity and not just relieved, see, because a lot of things relieve you, but they don't deliver you. And so he said, what is your name? And he made the spirit talk so that the guy could hear the difference between his own thoughts and his own sound and the sound of his captivity and his captors. So Jesus delivers him. And when he delivers him, he didn't send him home and say, hey, there you go, deliver. Jesus delivered him, put some clothes on him, and then sat down and began to train him in the way of life. Because captivity trains you to die. Now, you know, that's just a little exhortation for next Saturday and December 10th. All right, Father, actually tell them what time. And wait a minute, you know you can go to my website, drpaulaprice.com. Anything you want to know about me, go to drpaulaprice.com. Put that A in there so you can get to me. All right, Father.
That's right. And I also want to say for the webinar, if they can't make it at that time, it will still be available for 48 hours after the live broadcast. So you can still purchase your webinar. You will receive automatically when the webinar is concluded a link, and it will say, you missed the webinar.
Ah, it's a problem.
It will. It'll know, and it'll say, don't worry, here's your link right here, and we have it set to be available for 48 hours so they can still catch you throughout the weekend.
I know, right?
And if they do tune in live, they will also be able to watch it again one or two more times or whatever throughout the weekend before it goes bye-bye.
For good.
Into the archives of training.
Yes.
I can't even say archives. I would have to say the halls of training. Because the last thing we're doing is archiving. We're pulling everything you have off of the shelf.
Yes, they're going to find out about that in a couple of weeks, right?
Right, that's yeah. Right.
With something new coming.
It's season now, so we can't talk about it. I mean, you know, we just don't have.
If you have a little something, I have a little something.
Okay.
We can both say something.
Okay.
You say something, and then I'll say something.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so something.
Something.
So here's what we're doing. We are launching Dr. Price's own online television. Actually, it can be audio and video.
Yeah.
Network.
For my mentees.
For your mentees and for
my trainees.
Trainees, overseasies.
Tutorees. That's the word. Did you know tutorees?
Yes,
the word.
Tutorees. Anybody who wants to get that training, it's set up like a Netflix.
Yes.
Monthly subscription and total access.
Yes.
To whatever you have up there. So we are so excited. Now, we'll be coming out before Christmas. December 19th is our go-live date.
Oh, boy, you did put yourself under the gun. I'm so proud. You stuck.
I said
it. You stuck.
That's right. I said it, which means we got to get it done.
and no sleep for you.
No. But these kind of things, I can stay up all night practically all night, several nights in a row doing this because I just get fired up. Especially when I know we're getting your word to the world.
And, you know, I want to say often I get inbox, you've inboxed me, you've emailed me, and you've asked, how can I be trained by you, Dr. Price? How can I be mentored by you? What can I do to get more training? Some of you all have some issues with me only being on for an hour on Tuesday, an hour on Thursday evening, and 2 full hours on Thursday, daytime.
Together.
3 hours on Thursday, and this week I'm giving you some OT and some OT. And so, but anyway, now you can catch me in my full training mode. Some of it will be live. Some of it will not be. Hallelujah. Some of it will be recorded. You will get the better part of my 20-plus years of education, training, teachings, courses, audios, videos, print. You know, someone said to me, you know, we talk about people who write books and then there are those who write a library. Well, you're going to get the access to my library and you'll be trained. Now, if you decide you want to go from being a passive mentee to an active mentee, we will have some instructions on how you can do that as well. I noticed, Ashley, some people like that passive mentee. You know, I want to get it on my terms, get it when I can. I'm busy, I'm raising kids, I'm working, whatever. You know, I just want to learn. I just want to improve myself. That's fine. But if that's the case, this is ideal for you. If you want a little more, you'll let me know. And then we will bring you into my private mentorship circle, which is very different, and we'll talk about that later. Now, listen, I know when you say private, it sounds very elite and special and whatnot, and it is. It is, because, you know, I only go for the best of the best. I pour into the best, and I won't be depressed. Because I'll be all upset, because, come on. So we have a private mentorship circle that I hold for various people. If you're one of those people, after you've done the passive, the channel network, hey, listen, we'll tell you how to do that. But make sure you're ready to go to the next level and not just aspire to it. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Then, okay, wait a minute. I have another card here on my trusty desk.
Yes.
Yay. Do you all remember this card? Yes, this is Women of God Restoration Weekend. It's December 16th to the 17th, 2016. God is good, and God is going to meet you, my sisters, in the Lord, out of the Lord, going to be in the Lord. Bring every woman you know. Hey, moms, bring your daughters. Bring your teens, especially your teens, your preteens, your tweens, or whatever we call them, you know. We've developed names for them.
Yes.
Bring your young women, bring your older women, pastors, send your wives, because you want to bring this flame back home. Hallelujah. Pastors, send your head of women's ministry, because you want to take this flame back home. So bring them, because it is powerful. We're going to talk about getting a woman free. Do you know that it is very interesting? Women cannot be made free the way folks think. You know, women are built differently for a reason. And a different build means different methods. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Different methods. So we're going to come, and I'm going to talk to you about, the first lady is not the church. We're going to meet the first lady of creation, who is what we are patterned after. Did you know God patterned us after a woman? There is one. There is a reason why. We're going to find out why he made his church a woman, not a man. That ought to speak a lot. Shay they both. Hallelujah. We're going to find out why the whole gender thing in the church is a little bit skewed. So let me tell you this. Fathers, husbands, pastors, we're not going feminist on you. Come on, exhale with me. Aren't you glad to know? I'm too powerful to go feminist. I don't need that. So, there we go. So, we're not doing that. But I am going to send you back a better version of what you sent us. Because these, your sisters, if you have a business, you have a school, your mom, whatever. Now, here's this. I always have to say this. This is my disclaimer. No mani-pedis. No makeup moments. No braiding each other's hair. Please don't touch my leg. Okay? None of that. No tiara. No princess outfit. This is not the Princess Diary. Hallelujah. This is woman, come forth. This is empowering you and restoring you to God's vision of womanhood. That's why we're calling it Restore. Did I lose it? Yeah, I lost. That's okay. I'm good at this. That's why we're calling it Restoration Weekend. See? Restoration. Because we're restoring you to the original design. You know, I always talk to people when I'm dealing with them. You know, deliverance means hard reset. You know, hard reset. Not passive, not casual. You know, dump a few apps. You know how we do on our phone, actually, we dump a few apps.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, and hopefully that'll make it run better. And sometimes it does. But God wants you to be restored. I like David. David said, he restores my soul. The Lord wants to restore your soul from all of the atrocities and frustrations and anxieties and all of that. And, you know, every woman who comes does not have to have a trauma story, although a lot of life is traumatizing. Some of it is you just want to go to the next level. Some of you have just peaked out, and I want to go to the next level. So I don't want you to just think, this is just something if we send the broken and hardened and bruised. No, I need the strong woman, too, because you got to help the other ones keep going on. And we need to explore that strength and make it an asset to the kingdom of Christ. Your strength is an asset. Okay? And so we're going to talk about that. It's going to be a great weekend. Go to my website, Dr. Paula A. Price. That's the Bible here, because you know that Price is the word, because in the beginning was the word, not the what, and not the whatever. So we're going to do that, and it's only $25. We wanted to make it affordable. That's how much we want you to get free. Again, here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, December 16th and 17th, 2016, it's going to be at the Southern Hills Crown Plaza across the street from Oral Roberts University, that beautiful campus they have over there. We have done everything there. They have become a home base. They renovated it. It's a brand new look. I mean, it's just phenomenal. And I'm understanding from you, Ashley, that they decorated for Christmas, too.
Yes, they did.
Ah, isn't that great? So we're going to do powerful things. Okay, so we handle tomorrow's luncheon, 12 noon. Watch Facebook and all of the other stuff to find out how to, you know, call in.
They need to make sure they're on your mailing list. That's how they get the invitation.
You have to be on my mailing list. Are you not on my mailing list? Don't forget to get on there this evening so you can get an invitation and we'll have lunch together. I don't know what you're having, but I'm going to have something light. I think I might do a salad. You know, and so we're going to do that 12 noon, and we will only keep you for the lunch hour. We will not keep you longer. You know, I don't like to waste your time, and when I'm done whenever the Holy Ghost is done. If he's done in 40 minutes, we're going to say goodbye, and if not, we'll just go to the full hour and still say goodbye. But we're talking about jumping aboard the apostolic Christian train. All right, last thing. Hi, kids. Good night, kids. You know, I like it. Some of them mothers let me know the kids say goodnight to me.
They're
great.
Oh, they're still a night owl, so they're up.
No, they're not going to sleep. No, my kids never did it. All right. So, anyway, kids, good night. Roll call. Who's out there?
Well, I know we already have on the line Hartford, Connecticut. You know, Hartford doesn't miss.
Doesn't miss.
Bossier City, Louisiana doesn't miss. Gainesville, Florida.
Hey, right on. Oh, you're there this week. Come, Gainesville.
There.
Yay. How are you, woman of God? I see you're humped up with me. Yes, we are standing in the gap for your city. Get excited. There is a destiny that was interrupted in your land. God says, I'm visiting your city. We are restoring some destiny. And it's going to start, believe it or not, through the door of economy. God is bringing some unbelievable economic resources and opportunities to your city. Intercede for it because it's going to bless all the people of the city and bless the people of God. Okay, who else is out there?
Okay, all right. Lexington, Kentucky is in the house, and one young lady said, you're dope.
I love it. That's a good thing.
That's a great thing.
Okay.
Not you're on dope.
Okay.
You are.
Okay.
Detroit,
yes,
okay, Augusta, Georgia, Clarksville, Tennessee is
in the 100%. 100% is the house.
That's
hello, Clark. Rockford.
New Jersey, Pennsylvania, home. Yeah, home is there. Maryland, Bowie, Maryland, Apex, North Carolina, Atlanta, Marietta, California, Nigeria.
Woo!
We have
hello, Nigeria!
Chicago, Milwaukee, Easton, Pennsylvania, Norwalk, Connecticut, Apex again,
woo.
North Carolina. We have Monroe, Connecticut.
Mm. We're moving in Connecticut. That's
we
nice.
Are.
All right, Seattle, Washington, Kings Island, Georgia.
Ooh, that's nice.
Buffalo, New York.
My father's home state, hometown even. I Buffalo.
Nebraska.
Mm.
Seattle Seahawks. Somebody said Seattle.
Seahawks. That's all right. Go ahead and celebrate. I am not that much of a sports fan, but if I do watch sports, I tend to favor basketball. But I tend to like it all. I like the hockey folks. I think that, you know, chasing that little thing around after you get all beat up, that's an amazing thing.
Amazing.
You know? Oh, hallelujah. Every now and then, a little boxing, you know? Hallelujah. Yeah, you know, what can I say? Hey, you know what? I grew up in Newark. What can I tell you? All right. We're going to have a great time tonight. We'll talk about did we cover everybody? We covered all the business. All right. I'm going to talk a little bit about living the God-sense life, and I want to talk to you about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. I've covered this before, but I think it bears repeating. We get new people regularly, and so what I said weeks ago, unless you go to our archives, and I have no idea where my Periscope archives are. I couldn't even begin to tell you. Facebook, I don't know. But at least they keep it for a while, right?
They do?
All right, so you can go to my archives. And listen, if you're just joining me, go through the archives, listen, and catch up on what's been said and what we're doing. For example, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because every Christian begins Christianity apostolic. If you're born again by the word of God, if your pastor came to ministry by the word of God, your evangelist or whoever that led you to the Lord, if you are born again by the word of God, you began apostolic because that's who gave us the word of salvation. That's who Jesus left the word of salvation with. Now, that's not knocking anything. You always have to say that because folks get real antsy. I don't knock anything Jesus is doing, nothing. Because you know what? He has a huge kingdom. He had 12 tribes. He had, you know, 12 apostles. One was the devil, replaced him. And he's got seven churches. So that's 12, 12, and 7. Does anybody get the point? That's minimally how God is going to have diversified himself and created that diversification. So I don't have a problem with that. What I do know is that God told me to tell you this, and I'll repeat it over and over again. God saves people, not religions. He saves citizens, not nations. Nations are saved because he saves citizens. All right? So God wants you to understand that as we go forward. So Every Christian begins their walk with Christ, their life with Christ, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, apostolically. So why is it that that's the one office that we know the least about? You may be evangelized, but evangelists got their message from, hallelujah, apostleship. And so the first Christians, because there were no churches, remember now, there were no churches, there were no music ministries, no youth groups, none of those kinds of things. The first Christians were Christians from the inside out. Now we're settling our Christianity on the outside, hopefully getting it in. But back then, Christians were Christians from the inside out. You know, I often listen to them talk about how much they love the home churches, and we need to go back to those people weren't doing home church because that was what they wanted to do. They were doing home church because they left the edifices of other gods. All of those edifices belonged to the pantheon of deities. Their world worshipped back then. I mean, Jesus Christ did the unthinkable because he dominated the world monotheistically. And when he said he cast out principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, that is what he's talking about. So the first Christians were Christians from the inside out. There was no faking. There was no hiding. You couldn't hide in the back seat. You couldn't hide in the kitchen. Poor little Martha was in the kitchen cooking, and she wanted her sister to help her. And Mary was like, are you kidding me? This is a good word. I'm going to get this word. Sat down at the Lord's feet, which was unheard of for women back then, which is why her sister was helping, because we so misunderstand culture. So her sister was like, listen, I'm in here cooking. I mean, you know how we do it. I like to hear the word, too. You know, we didn't have any plasma screens up in the kitchen, down in the hallway for us all to catch what he said. So you had to be there, and when you weren't there, you missed it, period. Unless, of course, you were part of the scribal team. Every orator had. Every orator had a scribe. Everyone. Because that is how you documented what was said and passed it on. So a lot of times we say these people got it just by pure memory, not necessarily. All right? So that's a whole other thing. So back then, when you were a Christian, you couldn't hide out. You couldn't fake it. You either had Jesus on the inside or you didn't, because that was the only, the exclusive definition of Christianity.
Woo. All right. That was worth the night.
Only did one. Did you notice?
It's early.
Early? Okay. Now, why is that important? Because there was also no other religious a group for you to turn to as a Christian. In the beginning, the first Christians, of course, we know were Jews. They were the people in the upper room. But what we do forget, because we often say that, but when the Holy Ghost fell, the Bible said that those people were having an annual convention. And so they said when the days of Pentecost came, according to the book of Acts, there were representations of every nation under the sun in Jerusalem. Now, I bet that was kind of incidental, accidental. I bet you guys said, boy, we messed up. It just happened to be a holiday. You know, but God always takes advantage of feast days. Remember, there was a feast season which brought Jesus back into his home, his parents into Judah, so that he could fulfill scripture. You know, Jesus was supposed to be born in Bethlehem, so they had to go back to Bethlehem of Judea to answer for a census. God uses things like that always to shift, because God's always moving behind the scenes. You can't be more behind the scenes than having the Son of God born in a manger with the animals or stuff, whatever. So moving on, let me say, I'm going to say this several times in the night because I want you to check your Christianity. It is not your name on the roll. That's not Christianity. It is not where you pull your tithes. Christianity back then, under apostleship, began from the inside out. The Holy Spirit begot again the children that believed in Jesus Christ, and they passed it on. And when they passed on Christianity back then, since they had no, at that point, had no rivals or competition of its own kind, like today we have various, you know, different sects of Christianity and different religions and branches and strength. We didn't have that back then. You had to be a Christian or not, period. And those apostles identified you as a Christian or not, a follower of Jesus Christ and a follower of his apostles. Is that good or what? I'm already excited. I'm telling you, I am excited. And you know why I'm excited? Because we, like time does and what the enemy does to always bring down unbelief, is that we complicate matters. You know, we used to say something is wrong, and that was inappropriate. Inappropriate. 5 syllables to say wrong. Confusion. Confounding, unnecessary complexity, compounding things for no reason. So anyway, so I want you to understand back then when an apostle met you, you had to be saved if you were sitting in their church, and if you were not saved, they called you out. And the reason they called you out had nothing to do with hurting your evangelical feelings, had nothing to do with breaking your charismatic heart, had nothing to do with challenging your denomination's faith and doctrine. They called you out because it was dangerous to have non-Christians in their midst. Come on, Facebook, act like you know what I'm saying is the truth. Periscope, come on, talk to me. Am I saying it right or what? In the beginning, because there were no churches, we didn't have churches then. Everybody was meeting at homes, or they were meeting on the side of the road, or they were meeting in other people's houses, and every now and then they got to rent a theater or two, maybe. And oftentimes they met in the houses of the wealthy people because they had the largest properties to hold the services on. You know, we like to bash the wealthy folks, but I want you to understand God gets a lot of mileage out of folks with money. Now, he gets a lot of prayers out of folks with none. Help me, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Wow.
You know, because let me tell you something. You're going to need somebody with some money to get through to handle the things that you want to do for the people with no money. That's how it goes. So a lot of those people had large homes or they had great plots of land that they can use because they were the Christians were being ostracized or being assaulted by the worshipers of other gods who were felt that their faith were falling into disrepute because this man named Jesus. That's why Paul got beat all the time. The apostles were beaten because they were introducing the true and living God. So for you to have a church full of unbelievers could literally cost you your life and not just your soul. Because those people came into those churches incognito to wipe out those religions, to wipe out Christians and stamp out this religion that was going breaking all of the rules by exposing other gods, which was not culturally accepted back then. Everybody was born to a deity. We respected everybody's God. Your God is just as important as my God. And then here comes Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. Let me get a little water. I think I need a sip. Hey, guys, grab a sip of water. We'll all just sip together. I love it. So, when you think about how important it was to be a Christian back then, do not ignore how important it was for apostles to verify your Christianity. And they obviously had some extremely pointed and very refined ways of knowing a Christian. And it wasn't just because they said, I love Jesus, because pretenders, hypocrisy was not just about what we call it today. People just, one person pretended to be something else. Hypocrisy was not just that, it was pretenders of the faith. And they knew that pretenders meant them no good. Is this talking to you guys? Pretenders of the faith meant them no good. They knew that they could do them great harm, like what's been done to us over the long haul. So they would have an evangelistic meeting or they have a house session or something, and if they start the salvation of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord started sweeping through a region and sweeping through an area, the first thing they did was call for the apostles to verify the move was accurate and authentic, that it was God moving and not one of the other gods that they cast out who was trying to sneak back in with stuff and recoup his losses. Now, you know that was good. Can I hit it?
Yeah, they're waiting.
Had to hit it. All right. I did it lightly before, but now I had to do it. Because in their minds, they were not dealing with faith clashes. They were not dealing with doctrinal and dogma confrontations and conflicts. They were dealing with hard God-to-God deity or deity-to-deity fights. It was serious. Jesus was coming in, fulfilling his word. He said, I was taking out of all the nations of people for my name. I'm pulling out Gentiles for my name. That was important, and that was the plan, and God was doing, and he was moving like fire throughout the nations, throughout the land, and they knew it was a problem. So what they did was they would get people to pretend to be saved. They'd get people to pretend to have the Holy Ghost. They'd get people to pretend to have tongues. They'd get people who would come and get large sums of money. They'd get people who would come with prophecy and come with a song. They would get all of these imposters who would come and infiltrate the churches. And the more vulnerable the church was, the more likely they would be destroyed. And they were not just destroyed by scattering the sheep. Sometimes it was about scattering. Most times it was about slaughtering. How's it going? Are you appreciating this? Because, see, you think that the battles we're fighting today are tough. No, what they did to continue to survive and migrate from place to place, go underground when they had to and all of that, that was all very serious. It cost this man everything to bring us to 2016, where Christianity is a household name, even if people try to take his fame and turn it into shame. Christianity has fought a long battle, but we need to know how it won. Apostles are how it got started, and they had to vet everybody. They had to vet the bishops, because the bishops would get out there in those regions and decide that they don't want to answer to the apostles any longer, and their people are there. And so as the church began to grow, then its internal struggles emerged and grew up with it. And then when people started to see how advantageous it was, how profitable it was, how people just would buy into it, drop their will, drop their good sense, become gullible, become just easily deceived. That's why Paul had to write all of those things, because the Spirit of God and his sugar sweet self was also making the people vulnerable and providing weapons to their adversaries. Whew. Hallelujah. So you need to understand why God fights for his church. But you need to understand this, because we told you that God's battle is over because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the beginning of God's battle. It might have been over for God's, with God and his people Israel, which it wasn't, but it certainly was just beginning for Jesus Christ in the world. Because remember, he was king of the world, but not its savior. And nation by nation, people by people, he had to become the saving sovereign and the sovereign that saves. And he did it through apostles, because they were the ones who would carry more than a message of salvation, more than the message of the cross. They carried the kingdom. And they populated the kingdom, not just a region. Hallelujah. And God wants you to understand what the battle is. So let me go to my book, because I'm going to go over these last three things to show you how we came to be. We're in page 108 of ABCs of Apostleship, Discipling Apostolic Christians. This is book two. Book one is on the wall. If you want to go back and figure out how to get that, go to my website, drpaulaaprice.com. Get all the stuff you see. Okay, living the Godhead life, springing from the Godhead family tree, is the mystery of the Christian experience. I can just tell you that. Yeah. I'm done. Don't you think? Springing from the Godhead family tree is the mystery of the Christian experience. It's not the church. It's not the congregation. It's not the edifice. It's the gene pool of the Godhead. All that underpins it, evidence, is what Jesus did to pass us from death to life, not for humanity to upstage or sabotage its effects or the effect of his sovereignty. Religious rituals are the regimens of the King of Kings that are imposed on his family to enable our invisible state to be detected and manifested in the physical world. Let me go back. Because, you know, we so bash this, we chop up that, we don't do rituals, we don't do this, we're not a religious, we're not there. Hold on. Everything in existence serves God somewhere, and the intelligent explores how that thing is, it serves God before they decide that it's not relevant or they debunk it as nonsense. So I want to read that. Religious rituals are the regimen the King of Kings imposes on his family to enable our invisible state, meaning nationhood, to be detected and manifested in the physical world. Both map out the Godhead's ideal way of practicing its culture on earth. Consequently, the church's forms and observances aim to attract us to the rest of God's family, make us attractive to the rest of God's family, not to compete with those of his doomed God. So everything that we do, which is why God has a culture that he brands, he models, he imposes on us, is to let people know, if you want the culture of life, here it is. If you want to live forever, this is how to do it. If you want to live and not die, this is the God that will get it done. You know, Scripture says, Paul tells Timothy that Jesus Christ brought life and immortality to light. I don't know about you, but that's powerful. that he brought life and immortality to life. So that means it didn't exist. Going on, those being born again are ordained to populate the Savior's kingdom on earth so they flourish in this world later when it comes time, when it comes to earth. So we have all of these rituals that you've allowed Satan to bash, all of the songs, I hate church, I don't like this, I'm sick of church, I'm tired of this, and all of that. All of that is satanic conditioning to get you to bash this man's church and to take you off the hook for living like one of his offspring. When people start bashing church, I shut up, I'm done with you. And you know why? Because you're not bashing your job. You're not bashing the family that broke your heart, left you on the side of the road. You're not bashing the husband that's cheating on you, the wife that threw you out, the kid that cussed you out and left you, wouldn't take care of you. But you're going to bash this man's church, who is the solution and the reparation of all of that. And for preachers to stand up there bashing this man's church across the pulpit, sitting on that, yeah, I'm sick of church too. No, then you're not doing it right, because if it's making you sick, you're doing it wrong. Or you're doing it in the wrong place. So apostles don't bash God's church, because they know that it's God's enemy that is putting those words in people's heart and putting their frustration in their souls. Moving right along, Christian habits and observances help you discover and live out your kingdom destiny until your new creation being re-enters God's world. That is why his worship, services, and sacrifices do not change and typically run against the grain of earthly rituals. In God's world, nobody gets tired. First of all, nobody's weak enough to get tired of anything. Everybody's tired. All right? So in God's world, they don't get tired of singing praises to the king. They don't get tired of worshiping God. They're not sitting there singing these little old dirges that we like to sing. I'm tired and woe out. And tired of serving the Lord, I'm so weary with this walk. Now, come on, people, get over that. Trash that. Put that in the garbage. All of those songs, throw them away. We just pouring, toe down, woe down. Come on. Get delivered. If you got a real Holy Ghost on that's inside of you, he is a joyous being. He's a joyous God. He's excited about it, what he's doing. Sing them a little pitiful song. I can't do it. And those little personal songs, your personal salvation is not working. That doesn't mean that the global salvation of Jesus Christ is failing. Of all the things they are to accomplish, the main one is that they are to sanctify us so we reflect the heavenly community we hope to join one day. If there were a second to that first, it would be to make a public difference between who belongs to the true and living God and who does not. Consequently, conforming our faith expressions to earth deities demotes Christianity and promotes God's adversaries. The reason is that the way the Holy Spirit inspires us to express our faith in and love for God is not ancient, it is eternal. God's worship originated in heaven, and his kingdom has been practicing its union with its God, his way, for eternity. Again, ABCs of Apostleship, Discipling Apostolic Christian, hallelujah, page 108. Now, so how did God do it? We already said that. You know, it's important for us to recognize how God thinks. Everything the Lord demands of us in the flesh is consistent with how his invisible creation keeps going and keeps in good stead with him. Was that good?
Outstanding.
Come on, give him that one. Hey, all right. Now, I want to share with you, just to remind you, that we came from heaven. Christianity is the only faith that didn't begin on earth, because it's God began, sent it from heaven. Let's go. Do we have the screen? Let me see if the screen is working, because you know. There we go. I don't know. It's not working. Is it showing up? I think it did. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Let's look at this. So how do we get here? You know, we keep forgetting Christianity is not a prayer. The prayer is the door to Christianity. And that prayer has to be a prayer of repentance. It cannot just be a prayer of I'm sorry, Lord, or prayer of I think I want to join you. You don't sign up to be a Christian. You sign up to go attend a Christian church, but you do not sign up to be a Christian. And you need to recognize that Christianity is did not begin on earth because all the earth was given under the sway of the wicked one. It had to begin. Did we do something else? Okay, it had to begin where it began. Every person who gets saved is saved because they were in Christ before the foundation of the world. Okay. Yeah, that feels like it. Yeah, that feels like we did it right. Okay. See, we need that, those years of service. Hallelujah. So Christianity, you have to accept, is not what it is for every other religion. You don't go and cry and sniff and smile and fall out and say, oh, wow, ha, oh, hallelujah, this feels great. You, sometimes you don't feel anything when you got saved. Some of us, it was dramatic. Some people just sat there and said, I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of this God. I want Jesus Christ. Go ahead. Not me. Not me. It's but the deep part is what you see when you read Ezekiel, hallelujah, 36. I believe it's 36, 24 through 27 or 29. You, that's when it gets deep because you find out about the new birth. We, you know, evangelically, you've been preached John chapter 3 through 8. You've been preached that about you must be born above and the Spirit goes where it wills. But why did Jesus chide Nicodemus for not knowing? Because Nicodemus, he said, are you not a teacher, a rabbi in Israel, and you don't know what Ezekiel wrote? You don't know that Ezekiel prophesied the new birth? How can you be a minister of the gospel, a minister of the truth, and not know these things? That is why he chided Nicodemus. He didn't chide him because what Jesus said was so weird that Nicodemus did not have the spiritual wherewithal to rise up into Jesus' realm and his intellect and grab it, this abstract concept. To Jesus, it was not abstract. It was written. It was in the words of the prophets. You know, we want to talk about prophets, and we got prophets today, but I don't even know why you're carrying the name for the title, because to you, it is not prophecy at all. But it's not about prophecy, but God, those prophets, everything Jesus did was written by his prophets. And so you could not get an understanding of the gospel, and the apostles cannot get any gospel to amplify without the prophetic writings. So moving on, Christianity did not, write this down, Christianity did not begin on earth, it began in heaven. Everybody who gets born again is born again because they were in Christ before the foundation of the world, all trillions and trillions and trillions of them. And so when God, here's where it goes, ready? Come on, team. We don't want them to miss this. Don't you like that little church thing? Isn't that nice? I did well. It's supposed to do stuff. It didn't. But here's, look at the screen. The Holy Spirit brought us from heaven in the form of the seeds that were in Christ before the foundation of the world, when he walked on the planet, hallelujah, and then when he went to the grave and when he rose from the dead. We were in Christ in all of those bodily forms, and his bodily form was the church, which is why we are called his body. We're called his body not abstractly. We're called his body because the spirit of our eternal self was in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. In the same way that your sperm and eggs are in your body before you even had a kid. And so when your children are born and anything that comes in your body is called your body. Because it came from your body. So we are the body of Christ because we were in Christ before the foundation of the world. Before Jesus was a Savior, we were in him as royal seed. Which is why we are kings and priests. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm getting ready to lay out my stuff. I'm preaching. I'm excited. Come on, Jesus. Every now and then, I just got to get excited. I can't help myself. You know, I've got to get excited because, see, we haven't heard this gospel preach, which is why you're tired of the church. You're tired of the church because you're tired of human rhetoric. You're tired. tired of human cliche. You're tired of human understanding. You're tired of doctrines of devils. You're tired of seducing spirits. You're not tired of Jesus Christ. You're not even tired of this ecclesia. You're just tired of how we're doing it. Because the true gospel is exciting. It was exciting enough to get that man to the cross. It was exciting enough to get him on the cross, in the grave, back from the grave, and back in heaven, and you in his body. That's how exciting this gospel is. It's a good gospel. And I'm telling you, I preach it all the time, and every time I preach it, he still blows my mind. I'm like, you Jesus, you don't want to be God. I told you, he's a honey. He's our sugar honey man. So you see, the Holy Ghost, but when God, come on. When God poured out Pentecost, it wasn't just for tongues. It wasn't just for us to go hook a Messiah, yah, 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 Messiah. It was not about that. It was also not about us to have gifts of the Spirit. That is not why. That is why you all don't appreciate the Holy Spirit, because you don't know what he did. You just, he's like a little machine to you right now. He's not a utility. The Holy Ghost is not just heaven's utility on earth. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is your vital statistic. He's the one that says you're saved or not. The Holy Spirit says you're either in heaven's archives as saved or you're still in Adam's tombs as dead. And it's the Holy Spirit that passes you from death to life. Oh, glory. Moving along. Now, it was almost enough that the Holy Spirit brought heaven's populations to the planet, but he also brought heaven's civilization to the planet. Did I do it right? But you know, I'm happy.
Went
I went backwards. Okay.
Looks like you went forward from that.
And then, yeah, but hey, it happens. Sometimes we do that as humans. We look like we're going forward and end up going backwards. So I want you to see this. So the Holy Spirit also brought heaven's entire eternal civilization to the planet. You all are letting people talk to you about how old-fashioned Christianity is. No. Church on earth by works is old-fashioned. Jesus' eternal kingdom, not so. These people are so far ahead of us, we can't even figure out what they're doing. It takes literally millions of scientists to figure out one thing that God did when he made Adam. One little cell, millions of scientists, hundreds of years. So no, this is not an antiquated civilization. We are brought into the eternity of God in our now. And the Holy Spirit brought it to earth for us, brought us into God's world, brought us into his kingdom, brought us into his house, into his realm, into his secrets. This thing is so awesome that Paul writes in Ephesians 3:10 that the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, you know them aliens, they still trying to give you movies about, well, they are in heavenly places, hallelujah, will know and recognize the manifold wisdom of God by his church. By his church. We are supposed to be powerful. We're supposed to be more than supernatural. We're supposed to be supernal. Look it up. It's a powerful word. We're supposed to be supernal. We're supposed to be above all things. We're supposed to be the answers and not the questions. We are the question answerers, not the question igniters. We're supposed to have answers. I was watching one of those shows on TV. Where, you know, we always have these shows with the ministers of working for a God they don't know. Are you real? If you're real, let me know. Why are you working for somebody that won't let you know they exist? Quit. Just quit. I know he won't let you, but there's a whole other thing. Moving on. This is our last one. We only have a few minutes. So I want you to think about this. The Holy Spirit brought all of God to earth and made earth its embassy and made earth God's ability to annex even this doomed planet to his one of life. And God literally took back his world through Pentecost, through Jesus Christ, and he took back humanity. So look at how he did it. He brought it all. Number one, he brought the kingdom. Number two, he brought the glory. And he brought the citizens. the citizens, you and me, in the seed of Christ. What else did he bring? Well, God's Spirit transported the fullness of his earthly, eternal commonwealth to earth. He brought the fullness of his eternal commonwealth to earth. People, think about that. Leaders, teachers, apostles, prophets. I don't know how you can hear this and not want to jump out of your skin. This is powerful stuff. It's so powerful that they spend billions and billions of dollars to keep it out of your mind, to keep it out of your teaching, and to keep it out of your heart. Oh, somebody, please hear the word of the Lord today. You are so, so important, and you're so vital that all this money is spent to tear up Christianity in your world, because you're the only one that is true. Every other religion comes from fallen deities, dead gods, and only because God slaughtered them. Moving on. Last one. The Holy Spirit brought all of God's citizens to be born to the planet. He brought God's kingdoms, and he brought God's cities. And that is why Christianity cannot be confined to a local assembly. It is a global faith. It is what God called, hallelujah, into a being when he decided to extend his eternal world into this physical one, and to make us his seed, to make us his offspring. He wants us to make this thing appealing. Instead of running around because folk are upset because you talk about Jesus Christ, nobody's upset when they start talking about their little boyfriends, telling you how they had sex with somebody, all of that publicly. Who cares about that? If it was all that great, you wouldn't want to make everybody want to chase you down for it anyway. So who cares about that? But we have to listen to that. We got to listen to all of that other stuff, and you walk away feeling like you're the inferior one. No, no. That's inferior talk. Because superior talk, understand the greater things in life, and understand how to handle life's treasures and how to cherish them. And we are here to get God's cherished possession and to win these people over, win them to the Lord, because most of these folks don't know. They only know the culture they're born into, and until you do your job well, nobody knows. Don't assume that everybody wants to fire Jesus Christ. A lot of people, we just found out, are not ready to fire him. A lot of people are ready to keep him on staff and present and involved in our world. How are we doing, Prophet Ashley? Oh, she said I have 2 minutes. I'm excited, 2 minutes. Well, if I've got 2 minutes, let me just say this to you. Are you ready to say goodnight to me?
Don't ever ready.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Remember, tomorrow, lunch with me, 12 noon. Go to my website, Dr. Paula A. Price. Put your name on my mailing list so that we can send you a notification so you will find out how to join us for lunch. Saturday, webinar, intercession, deliverance, how to use your intelligence to get and to remain free. You're going to love it. See? Did you see? She just interrupts me. Why does she do that? Anyway, so that's December 10th. And it's 10 a.m., and as Prophet Ashley said, don't worry about it. I mean, we want you to be live because we'd like to get your questions. We want your feedback and your answers and your involvement. We want that, so we like that live part. But if you just can't do it, it'll be there for the entire weekend. You'll be able to go back to it. And last but not least, because she's going, you know, Cookie's going to tell me what time it is again. I'll tell you. Don't forget, Women of God, Restoration Weekend. You want to be a part of this, bring everybody again. Go to the website, drpaulaprice.com. Get your copy of the ABCs of Apostleship, Discipling Apostolic Christians. Don't miss Prophet Tyler Price tomorrow on, hey, Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum. That's where, you know, people ask, where's that coming from? I wrote it down. Here it is. Ha-ha. Until tomorrow night, Thursday, Paula Price Show, 11 a.m. Central, and Thursday evening, Prophetic Ed, 8 p.m. Central. Until we meet again, God bless you. And listen, celebrate your Christianity as you celebrate your Christ. God bless you.